Love Talk Radio.
Special and haunting music. We'll talk a little bit more about that in just a few minutes. This is Sound Health Options on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Sherry Edwards along with Richard O here, who makes the whole show interesting. This is what, November 14th? No. Yeah.
November 14th. Amazing but true. November 14th.
2010. We're supposed to do that for people listening to archives, and I never can remember what day it is. We are going to talk about lots of wonderful stuff today. Richard brought some stuff in we're going to talk about, and then continue with signature sounds as we go along. We are video broadcasting for any of you who want to join us there. We've got some pretty pictures for you to share. So go to chat, and I never can remember how to go to chat either because my switchboard looks totally different from anybody
else.
So
very different. I'll walk people through it.
Okay.
Go to blogtalkradio.com/Sherry, Sharry, hyphen Edwards.
I think it's underscore.
And that'll take you to the first page. And then on that page, you'll scroll down. And well, actually, it'll probably have the live show just about up, or you'll click on the option to go to the current show, and then chat will open up in a moment or 2 moments in some cases at the bottom of that window, and you'll be able to see all of the things in chat and also the connection, the link to go to the WebEx live stream that Sherry is talking about, where you can see all the things that she's going to show today and doing the live demonstrations of the signature sound and articles.
Yes. People who are listening to us just on Blog Talk Radio, you can also call in at 347-850-1407. 347-850-1407. And remember, if you raise your hand, or you want to talk, you have to raise your hand. I think it's punch one.
Yeah, press one to raise your hand.
To let us know what's going on. Richard, you sent me a piece of mail right before the show. Do you want to talk about that? Because all those grrr sounds.
I was reading my email and going to some of the sites I watched this morning, and there was this article that was talking about if anybody's been to my website, which is the talktomeguy.com, you know that I've spent a lot of time in the past since the occurrence of the Gulf oil cataclysm. And I was saw this article, not on my site, but somewhere else, by a news station out of that part of the country where they had done an interview with a doctor down there who's looking at testing patients. He's talking about the fact that he's seeing patients who are having immediate what I would call short-term effects, but also what he's talking about is looking at people's long-term effects, like possibly elevated levels of cancer and other bad illnesses as a result from exposures to the dispersants and to the petrochemicals and everything else. And really the part about the article that pissed me off the most, not so much about the article, but they're really pointing out what pisses me off the most. How is it this has just disappeared from mainstream media? This is just you know, there's a little snippet here and there about something, but for the most part, it's like, oh, it's fine. You know, it's everybody's fine. Everything's back to normal. Congressmen are going down there and bringing back bags of shrimp to Washington, D.C., so, you know, Mike Huckabee can make a big deal about, you know, eating shrimp from the Gulf, saying everything's fine. Like, A, I don't believe that those shrimp are really good to eat yet, and B, like, there's nothing else wrong. Like, there's been no exposure, there's been no toxicity to these people, but they still aren't in a state of destruction, and that the beaches are destroyed. It's bad. It, you know, I could rant easily, but I'll stop there.
Well, let's see if we can find that doctor and then get him on the show.
I thought about that. I thought that would be big fun to have him on the show and talk to him. Because he's an alt. I mean, he's an MD. However, from reading more about his site, he's definitely someone who seems to get the concept of preventive health care. So I think that would be very exciting. I made a note to do that.
I don't know who is calling me, but I just turned the ringer off, so that's my private line, and they should know I'm on the line with this important radio show. I will try, Richard, to get in touch with him and get him on the show.
Yeah, that would be great.
Last week, we talked about signature sounds and what was going on with that and how we have a frequency and it mixes together like waves, and that places have a signature and a frequency. When I think about the Gulf, it's like it's very dampened, and I can see energy patterns around the world, and it just doesn't seem right. It's like it's got a ring around it of something that doesn't allow its energy to come out. So maybe I have a couple of friends who live in the area. They are musicians, and I will call them and see if they will give us the scoop. Let me write myself a note. And musicians, okay.
That would be really great, because also there's more. I recently posted an article on my site talking about the fact that one of the things that scientists, marine biologists, are finding is that because of the dispersants, that did in fact make the oil particles smaller, but it also made it mostly fall to the ocean floor, that a lot of the coral is dying down there, a lot, especially along the coast of, you know, Florida, and where coral is growing, any of the areas where it's shallow enough to coral to happen, that a lot of the coral is coated in oil and is dying. So I think there's a lot more long-term effect, and a lot of the marine biologists are writing about the devastation they see occurring in the sea life, but because it's mostly on the ocean floor, they've done the, you know, oh, we can't see it, there's nothing wrong perspective.
There's got to be something going on. Why would they be hiding it? You know, when so much is going on, occasionally you'll see on the blog how sick people are and please help us, and, you know, they give millions of dollars help other people, and these folks can't even get any help.
Yeah, yeah.
It's ridiculous. You know, something's going on with the media. I have an article up here, and I've entitled it, "Seriously, Pelosi May Be Experiencing Intermittent Bouts of Alzheimer's." I'm going to read the first couple of paragraphs. During a routine vocal profile conducted by the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology, it became observable that Nancy Pelosi, former majority leader in the U.S. House of Representatives, may have serious issues dealing with the delivery of oxygen to the brain. Geraldine Ferraro, former vice president candidate for women's rights, recently stated that she knew Nancy Pelosi to be a very intelligent woman. If that's true, why would Pelosi report to Larry King that gas prices at a dollar something during a Bush administration are now three times higher at $2.56. You know, the woman makes statements that are just kind of nutso. And I wrote this article, and I sent it out to several people. Fox News, to the two representatives that went against Nancy Pelosi telling her not to run, there was not one thing that I sent that was deliverable. It all came back. To the Washington Post, to, several people who write columns. What is this? Can they just stop your email if it has a certain word in it from going anywhere? I mean, Nancy Pelosi, former speaker, led Democrats to a terrible crushing. I don't care if she runs or not, because she's a nutball trying to run the party, and they'll be totally scattered until she gets out of there. So I don't want them to be able to do anything anyway. So I don't care, but I just thought that as a public service, I ought to deliver this to people. Now, anybody with us on video broadcasting seeing this can go to file and just save as or transfer it or whatever you'd like. Or Richard usually posts things, but he has something to tell you about that also.
We've been using the drop.io/nanovoice site, which indeed does have months of great articles and videos and all sorts of stuff. But that company, Drop.io, has been bought by Facebook, so that service is going away. So we'll be looking at adding something, I believe, to the Sound Health Options site for posting information. But there's a lot of really great information at that drop.io/nanovoice. Currently,
we have that blog talk thing too at soundhealthoptions.com. I'm horrible, but I don't think I've ever used it without the help of somebody to help me get in there.
Mm-hmm.
Have you posted there?
I haven't, but I'll go look, definitely.
Okay, before we start getting serious, I wanted to read you something that somebody named Jen sent to me. And she did not send a link to it, so here it is. In the year 2009, the Lord came up unto Noah, who was now living in Australia, and said, "Once again the earth has become wicked and overpopulated, and I see the end of all flesh before me. Build another ark and save two of every living thing, along with a few good humans." He gave Noah the blueprint, saying, "You have 6 months to build the ark before I will start the unending rain for 40 days and 40 nights." 6 months later, the Lord looked down and saw Noah weeping in his yard, but no ark. "Noah," he roared, "I'm about to start the rain. Where's this ark?" "Forgive me, Lord," begged Noah, "but things have changed. I needed a building permit. I've been arguing with the inspector about the need for a sprinkling system. My neighbors claim that I'm violating the neighborhood zoning laws by building the ark in my yard and exceeding the height limitations. We had to go to the Department of Appeal Board for a decision. Then the Department of Transportation demanded a bond be posted for the future cost of moving power lines and other overhead obstructions to clear the passage of the ark as it moves to sea. I told them the sea would be coming to us, but they wouldn't hear it. Getting the wood was another problem. There's a ban on cutting local trees in order to save the spotted owl. I tried to convince the environmentalists that I needed the wood to save the owls, but no go. When I started gathering the animals, an animals' rights group sued me. They insisted I was confining wild animals against their will. They argued the accommodations were too restrictive and it was cruel and inhumane to put so many animals in a confined space. Then the EPA ruled that I couldn't build the ark until they conducted an environmental impact study on the proposed flood. Still trying to resolve a complaint with the Human Rights Commission on how many minorities I'm supposed to hire in my building crew. Immigration and naturalization are checking the status of most of the people who want to work. The trade unions say I can't use my sons. They insist I can only hire union workers with ARC building experience. Makes matters worse, the tax office seized all my assets, claiming I'm trying to leave the country illegally with endangered species. So forgive me, Lord, but it would take at least 10 years for me to finish this ark." Suddenly the sky is cleared and the sun began to shine, and a rainbow stretched across the sky. Noah looked up in wonder and asked, "You mean you're not going to destroy the world?" The Lord said, "No, the government beat me to it." I think that is a hoot at the long time. At the same time, it's despicable, and I'm ashamed that's what's going on, because there's some new laws coming into effect now that are just beyond comprehension. One of them is they just found out, I don't know who, but they posted this, that these shots they've been giving babies by law or something, or by jurisdiction of the insurance companies, they're finding out that no immunizations have been approved for babies under 6 months of age. None. And yet they're giving these shots to babies within a few hours of birth. I find that just beyond belief, and it proves to me that they are using our population as their own experimental playground. It's financial. Richard keeps saying, follow the money, follow the money. And I think it's all financial, especially when you consider that the World Health Organization advisors who said, go get these shots, received kickbacks from the H1N1 vaccines, and that was published by Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and it's naturalnews.com if you want to go read that. Is this the kind of world that we live in? You know, they're trying to outlaw McDonald's meals because they think it's making people fat. They think people don't have enough sense to eat the right thing. Well, I think one of the reasons we don't have enough sense to eat the right things is they put so much junk and garbage and unnatural things in it and food that don't have any nutrients that we just keep eating and keep eating, trying to get the nutrients we need. Which reminds me, tonight we have a class about bio diet, which will show you the nutrients that you need. I'm going to go back now to the board and see. We're going to be taking callers, so if any of you want to hear your signature sounds that we're going to talk about again, just raise your hand there and we'll go from there. But I have a couple more announcements while we're talking about all of this. We received something from Rose that said, avoid China-made food. They have found out that the milk in some of these products have been poisoned with melamine, and that's what they put in dishes to make those plastic dishes that you take to a picnic. So some of the things that she's listed here, M&Ms, Snickers, Dove bars, Starbucks coffee. I didn't know why there'd be milk in Starbucks coffee. Maybe they come in different packages or something. Pizza Hut. Cheesedale, which I don't know what is. Coffee Mate. Nestle. Something called KLIM that I've never heard of. I don't know what's going on there. And a lot of things that I can't read because they are in Chinese. But she said to look at the products and say, if it's made in China and contains milk, and there have been several deaths over this. This is not something that is just a fly-by-night. Early in 2008, China knew this because this melamine is causing infant kidney stones. They've tested this powder, and it's making people sick. Kidney stones, I guess, are the biggest one. Also, it's causing problems with hearing. I don't know how it's doing that. These kids are having to go on dialysis to get rid of this stuff. So they're not pretty pictures here, but just go online. And milk products from China, particularly the chocolate, is causing a problem. Have you heard anything about this, Richard?
I have. This has been going on for a while. actually. And I have to say that what people need to understand, or this is from my, this is like an editorial, I guess I have to put it as an editorial disclaimer, is that these products are being produced by American corporations who are wanting products produced as cheaply as possible in other countries. So my pet peeve about this is that, yes, the Chinese are producing dirty products. However, it's American manufacturers who are having the cheapest producer make these products. And I think it's the American manufacturers that need to be held responsible for these dirty products. Like back when we had children's toys that were produced that had bad paint, lead-based paint. Well, these are American companies that are having these products made. So people need to pay attention and watch where their products come from and hold the companies who manufacture those products responsible.
So let's add that to our non-compliant, no more Chinese food that contains chocolate. We've got quite a bit of things, quite a list here on our non-compliant. We're going to talk about that a little bit, too. We have an announcement, I think her name is Chili, is what it looks like, that there's going to be some kind of special announcement from NASA tomorrow. And they're sending out these announcements. They don't know what's going on. They think NASA, you know, could be a little pie in the sky. They think NASA is going to discuss something that they have observed, an exceptional object in our cosmic neighborhood. The news conference will originate from NASA headquarters television studio in Washington and carried live on NASA TV. Media representatives were asked to attend, and they also had to have an RSVP. I'm trying to see what time this is going to happen. 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on November 15th. I should have marked that so I could see it easier. But it's all over the internet, and I just thought that that would be something that we can share with people so you can hear it first. Okay, there is an announcement about hepatitis B vaccinations that they have been giving all infants since 1991. They've now come, it's mandated in 47 states. They've now come out and said they can no longer recommend it. Now, 1991, 2010, they've been stuffing this in newborns that many years and now decided that it's not a good thing. China has banned it. The French have banned it. When babies die after Hep B vaccinations, most of the time their deaths are automatically attributed to SIDS. So SIDA, sudden infant death syndrome. So people are not looking at it, but it is the Hep B. But they've come out now that it's on an article on McCullough, Joseph McCullough, M-E-R-C-O-L-A. It infects the liver. The babies become, they go into shock, excessive sleepiness, fever, diarrhea, hives, convulsions, mental and behavior disorders. You know, we had Barbara Lou Fisher on the other show, Rumor Mill News, and she said, this is bad. Well, here's proof that it's bad, and they've been doing it since 1991. So, another part of our non-compliance, don't get your kids vaccinated. I recently went with a friend to the hospital to a pre-op interview, and they insisted that she take a pneumonia shot and a flu shot before she get her operation. It was some little simple thing. I don't know. Something was out of place and had to be put back. So it wasn't anything serious. And when she said no to them, and that's why I went with her, because she thought they were going to give her a hard time. They said that she would have to have a doctor's order that she was not to have those shots, or there would be no operation at that hospital. Now, I think it's going to come a time when they're just going to shoot you up and just not tell you, because it's the law. So we have to be proactive, and she's going to have to take with her. And they also wanted her will. They wanted her to bring her will with her to the hospital, which was kind of neat. It's like, are they planning to kill her? Why would they have you bring your will with you to the hospital? So being proactive in exactly what is going on. That's just kind of crazy. We have, next subject, we have received some updates. This one from Steve Watson, who's saying to us that flight attendants, not only are the pilot unions advising their members to avoid these naked scanners, the flight attendants have now joined. And so what they're saying is they're going to have separate check-ins for flight attendants and pilots. You know, I think that's wonderful that they don't have to get this dose of radiation and be subjected to being naked and having, and if they don't want that, being felt up on every part and crevice of their body where they could hide something. But it's just another part of our non-compliance that we're trying to do here. There was a great idea sent to us, and it wasn't signed, but it's about Israeli scientists have invented a great alternative to the invasive personal body scanners. And they are going to deploy these in airports as security devices so that they can eliminate the concerns that come with these full body scanners. That's a good idea, huh, Richard?
Finally, that would be a great idea.
Well, here's
I know a number of people who were just out here at a conference who had to fly back to back to Washington, D.C., where they live. And they had gone through the body scanners and were talking about what, you know, either that or you go see a body scanner or you get a full, like, genital fondling search.
And one woman I read, she was overweight and had a pendulous breast, and they lifted her breast to see if she was hiding something under there. Well, here's their idea. It's a booth that you can step into. It'll not x-ray you, but it will detonate any explosive you may have on you. They see this as a win-win for everyone, and none of this profiling. It would eliminate the cost of a long and expensive trial. Case closed. That's a good idea. Just let the whole bomb explode inside this little bomb-proof room, because that's what you have on you. And then no searches. You know, that's a spoof, but that's what it's coming to. Pretty soon you're going to have to be searched to go in the grocery store. And somebody sent me a cartoon of a man that was in line. And you know when you go to the airport, you have to take your keys and your shoes, and you got all this stuff in your hand? Well, this guy had everything in his hand. Everything. So he was in the line to get searched. Richard, I have some good news.
Yes.
The UN banned chemtrails.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Geoengineering moratorium agreed at UN in Japan's risky climate techno fixes blocked. I don't understand that. In a landmark consensus decision, the 193 members of the UN Convention on Biological Diversity will close its 10th biennial meeting with a de facto moratorium on geoengineering projects and experiments. Any private or public experimentation or adventuresome, that's what it says, adventure tourism, never heard that word, A-D-V-E-N-T-U-R-I-S-M, adventurism, intended to manipulate the planetary thermostat will be in violation of this carefully crafted UN consensus states Sylvia Ribeirão, Latin American director of ETC Group. The agreement was reached after a two-week meeting, which included 110 environmental ministers. I will bet you that the UN walked out of this. It is so small, I can't read it very well. But I will bet you the UN got up and walked out. You know, for years they said people who think these chemtrails are poisonous are nutballs, and they just tried to make believe or to prove that these people had a few screws loose. Boy, that was a weird thing that just happened. Some screech just came out of my other computer here, and it's not even turned on. Maybe they don't want me talking about this.
You're not supposed to be talking about it.
Yeah. If anybody's ever been to a trial and even seen some on TV, if they don't have any evidence, they try to attack you personally. And that's what they're doing to a lot of these people. So I think that is something we should follow up on. It's under climate change and biodiversity. But if people now see these chemtrails, we ought to find a place where we can call in and say, you know, the UN banned these. Why is this going on in our neighborhood? And I have some more good news. Okay, we're going to get prepared for people to be doing their signature sounds. So those of you who are online with us or would like to have your signature sound done, you can call us at 347-850-1407. It's like we did last week, and we are going to be looking at compatibilities this week. We're going to be looking at colors you would love or hate, people you loathe on sight, why you're attracted to certain colors, aromas, music, or people. We're going to be talking about how this influences your DNA and your genetics. And then I have a very important question for you, Richard. Okay, my other good news. Monsanto's fall, the end of GMO seed industry.
Wow.
And this was from Tom, and he says, as recently as late December, Monsanto was named Company of the Year by Forbes magazine. Last week, the company earned a different accolade from Jim Cramer, the television stock market commentator. This may be the worst stock of 2010, he proclaimed. On Tuesday, Forbes publicly lamented its decision to deem Monsanto Company of the Year. The headline was cutting. Forbes was wrong about Monsanto, really wrong. How did Monsanto go from Wall Street hero to Wall Street doormat? According to the Times, Pollock, Monsanto's troubles are twofold. The patent on Roundup, and that's the one that we remember we talked about, this GMO article.
Right.
Where they had tried to make things impervious to Roundup. Monsanto's marketing dominating herbicide has run out, exposing the company to competition from cheap Chinese imports and to its target audience. Large-scale commodity farmers in the South and Midwest are turning against its core offerings in genetically modified corn, soy, and cotton. So down the tube, supposedly. I'll believe that when I see it. Boy, there's another one here. In the days of reporting covering the stock market, I read a lot of financial reports when a high-tech company like Monsanto disappointed Wall Street analysts with its financial performance. It would strain to draw attention to the next generation products that promise huge future returns to investors. But in its report on its disappointing quarter last week, Monsanto did no such thing. It gave zero details about next-generation seeds and instead focused on its revamping its price approach, meaning I guess it's going to raise its prices. So there's that. And we have a quote from Anita. Re-NASA announcement, see possible Project M, New York Times article by Kenneth Chang, sending a humanoid robot to the International Space Station and possibly to the moon, new form of rocket engines that burn liquid oxygen and methane, an automatic landing system that avoid rocks, cliffs, and other hazards. Anita probably went out and researched that because I didn't know enough about it. Okay, actually, two questions for you, Richard. Last week, we were trying to be clever and trying to hide a few things. But some people caught on. So I'm going to share a few things with you that they caught on about.
An alert audience.
Yes. Let's see if I can get it to come up. Well, that's one. If I can get the second. This is the second one. Okay, those of you who are watching us on the video broadcast will see a vocal print of mine. And I told you the person who had the eye problem had a vocal print. Well, I did his sound. And it looked like a DNA helix. Now, this is, I'm showing a vocal print here of all of this. And in case you're wondering what a normal vocal print should look like, it should not look like that pattern. It should look like just a scrambled bunch of lines here. So one of the people called me on this. Well, not one, several, less than 10. But they wanted to know why my vocal print is so different from others. We've kind of tried to hide this from people for a long time. My voice is not a human voice. My ears are not constructed like human ears. So there is some modification going on. Either I am a throwback from the Neanderthals or something like that, or I am some future generation, or I'm not from this planet, or something odd is going on. And that the fact that I can do these patterns, there's where we find the patterns of the formulas that we are using. And this is one of the reasons that people have not been able to follow us very well, because these are not consistent. And you'll see things all over about new study says, there was a study in July, University, I think, of Kentucky, said voices of children with autism different from voices with normal children. New study said this. Now, it wasn't a new study. We published it in 1994, I believe. In our journal, our premier journal that you can go read at jbab.org, jbab.org. And the music I played up front, it's called Sequentia. And there was a new article just came out that said, guess what? Scientists can set your DNA to music. That Sequentia was done in 1994 by Susan Alexandra. There's only four components to your DNA, and there's four notes in there that she begins to play, and combining the notes in different ways, she is able to create all of the other notes. C-A-T-G. Cytosine A, adenine T, can't remember that one. It's not tyrosine, but something very close to it, and guanine. So those four she begins to add and subtract from each other and create different kinds of music. Now, and they're saying this was done new, like within this year. Poppycock, it's been there all the time. We showed you last week this idea of taking the frequency of water or the frequency of nitrogen, adding it together, and it equals oxygen, and then combining water and oxygen to equal hydrogen, and water and hydrogen to equal ammonia. and sort of hinted at this is the way that our universe, at least our particular planet, was built. And yes, we think that if you take those four building proteins and begin to build them, you can see them again and again. The other thing that people think is happening, and we didn't show this last week, so I thought it was important that we show it now, is that there are codes in the Bible that tell you what is going on. It's like somebody came here and seated us. How would people know otherwise? So when you begin to look in the Bible code, which is the first five books of the Bible, put together in one string and then put into matrices, like the first 100 characters and then 100 characters down to make a matrix, you can begin to see information and patterns. Same thing with what we're using. We use a pattern of 16 across and 16 down to look at your health, and we can see that in those numbers. And those numbers are hidden in my head. And that's the interpretation that's going on here, because when I see a group of numbers like that, I know about the person. I need to write a book about that. But we began to look in the Bible code, and we saw the word Ayah or Ahiyah. And that's a word that comes to me when I'm meditating, and it comes in booming and all-encompassing. And I didn't know what that word meant for many years. And we now found out it means an ancient word for God. And Anuba, our new bioacoustic software, we thought we made that word up. And it appears in that Bible code 2,700 times. To tell you the difference, Princess Diana appears 6 times. Obama, I'm told, appears twice. Vera, bioacoustic research associate, what you are when you take class, 11,000 times. Prevac, the computer program that we did last month with the Guardians, 137 times. Savani, another word we thought we made up, 847 times. But not only that, but look at what the words mean in the different languages. Stay the course. Anuba means father. It was our first computer program. Vera, root of to create. Prevac, pulsing. Savani, vanished. Not only that, not only did these things appear once, but they appeared in cross-hatching thousands of times. I don't know if the idea of bioacoustics and vocal profiling has been seeded from our genetics, from another dimension, from another time, but that is what people tended to think when we were able to look at their signature sound and see what was going on, that their signature sound told them their place in the universe. And I don't know if I would deny that or not. I just really don't know. I did have an encounter early on in my life about a UFO, and I also know that other humans can't do this sound. My lineage can. We haven't found anybody that can hear it and do it. I know that this information, as I give it away, as we begin to take people's vocal prints and they look like this choppy kind of sequence that the computer prints up, and we begin to put that into computer programs and break it down like we would music into musical notes and look at the frequencies that are there, we can tell what kind of stress and disease people have, and the patterns are coming up in these number sequences that I seem to have some innate understanding of. So in answer to your question, what does all this mean? Where do you really come from? I don't know the answer to that, but I feel very honored to be able to bring this information to people and to look at people's notes and signature sounds and know that when they go into coherence, that people are more well. Also that we use the formulas that we found in the Bible of a three pyramids all kind of jammed together on one corner. They're three-sided pyramids, so they all share one corner, and then they're setting on a pyramid, equal lateral three sides, of where the top of the bottom one is the same one that the three are sharing. Then to come and find out that people are now talking about the shadow, becoming, looking at your own shadow. If you look at this at a three-sided configuration like this, and it's all over our website and our videos, it's on the front cover of our video called Breaking the Sound Barriers of Disease. This particular three-sided pyramid creates a shadow of the Maltese cross. And within that Maltese cross, there's where we found, I found, because my voice is weird, and I hear shapes, I hear voices, I hear shapes, I hear personalities, I hear colors. It's something called synesthesia, for any of you scientists out there who want a name for this, as we humans try to figure out what's really going on in our universe and try to put some names on it so we can understand it and explain it. But this Maltese cross came from first the Celtic tradition and then the Templar tradition of what's going on. And I have received so much information in this past week as we talked about this from people showing how the church is hiding information and the Celtics, and that's where all of this really came from, and it's from a universal language that anyone could understand. So as we go on through these radio shows, I will bring you more and more of that and try to share with you what these patterns mean. Now, this looked to me like a DNA helix, and we went back in and measured the helix and measured it across and looked at the frequency of each point, and that was the frequency of iron. So the message is hidden inside the vocal print, not only by frequency, but by geometric pattern. So, to answer the question, am I an alien? I haven't the slightest idea. I just know that in the beginning, we did this very simply with looking at time domain vocal prints, one hit, one phoneme from a person, and we could look at the intention of what was really going on with the person. So I can't answer that question. I need to go back to the chat. Richard, anything going on in the chat I need to read or...
Nothing that I'm seeing, no.
Okay. I will go back and see if anyone has raised their hand. And they have not? Okay, I'm going to ask you a question then, Richard. Well, first, do you have any opinion about where these sounds are coming from, or mutated ears or anything else?
I've done a lot of research and a lot of work in ancient, you know, Egyptian and beyond, you know, energy devices and symbolism and I can't call it mathematics because I don't do mathematics. So I'm not surprised by the possibility or the potential of anything in terms of when you're showing the cross or the pyramids or the symbol, those symbols. I'm not surprised at the potential of the information that they contain.
Have you ever heard of this before in all of your research, this kind of thing?
Not the kind of thing that you, as long as I've been following you for 20-some-odd years, nothing like that. Nobody who has the capacity to hear, I think you hear and see kind of at the same time, and I think you hear with your vision. I think you see with your hearing, so that when you hear a sound, it just comes to you as a pattern or something. That's the part I can't define, is what the something is.
It's just not there for most people.
No.
I think it really is there. I think they don't pay attention.
I've always felt that way about people's intuitions as well, as I think that really that we come in as children fully intuitive, and then as we become grown-ups, with quotes around that, or as we grow up into adulthood, that we're trained not to pay attention to that.
I think so, too. I just don't know how to answer some of these people's questions. I don't want to be put on a pedestal, but at the same time, I think the information is incredibly important.
It's incredibly important, yes.
And I don't know how to balance this idea of, okay, this is a truly weird person here, but this is okay because it could be science. I want people to be afraid of it. I don't want people to think I'm a nutball. I want to put the information out front. My name doesn't matter. The idea matters. But at the same time, people are looking to me for some kind of leadership and answers that I don't have.
Well, I think that's part of the power of having other practitioners around the country and around the world who are doing this work, and people begin to see the results from the computer programs and see that other people are getting results that, you know, you get what I will call organically, that after, you know, these many years that now people can do it with many of these amazing software programs like the one we're going to study this afternoon, the BioDiet program. I mean, it's amazing information and life-changing.
And it's things that I don't understand. This week I have gotten more mail from last week's show than any I can remember. Hundreds, 300 and 400 emails.
Wow.
And a lot of them were about, if I can get you my husband's vocal print, can you tell me if he's cheating? And one person in particular has written to me probably 10 times. She decided to have an affair with a married man that has 2 children. And she wanted me to tell her whether or not he was being truthful. And I said, okay, and I said to most of these people, you can go get this program. You can see if people are telling the truth or not. And they said, no, we want you to do it. Why? If I'm willing to provide somebody the tools, that they don't want to do this for themselves. Why do they want me to do it? Like this is some kind of magic thing out of my mouth. I want to know, well, one, if they have to ask me if it's a truthful relationship, that means it's not. That means they don't have they trust in
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times people just come together because they need somebody, and they don't give the respect and the space to the other person to grow and be who they are. And this guy wants to talk to his wife, and it makes the girlfriend jealous. What right does she have to be jealous here if he wants to call his wife and talk to her? You know, you've got to respect where the person is and what they need to do. And if you can't do that, then you don't love them. You love them loving you. And that is a big difference. People need to work out their stuff. I'll give you an example from my own life. I was hoping people would say they want their sound done, so I wouldn't have to tell this, but I put it on the slate anyway. My husband and I have been married for 40-some years. When we had been married about 20-some years, his old girlfriend got in touch with him and wanted to come and see him. And he was afraid to tell me, and I could hear it. I could hear something was the matter. And finally, I said, whatever is on your mind, whatever person you need to go see, it's obvious that you need to work this out. So whatever it is, tell me. And he did. And I said, if it is the universe's will, if it's the frequencies that you guys need to work out, and that's the correct thing for you at this moment, you need to go do it. And if you find out that she's the person that completes you, that answers your vocal print, that answers what you don't have from me, That's who you need to be with. So he invited her to our house. And she was so incredibly intimidated by me because I couldn't stop it. All my little antennas were up, and I could almost hear sentence by sentence what was going on in her head. And I flipped once, and I said, it's okay if you touch him. And that was her thought. Well, then that made her afraid of me because she knew what I knew what she was thinking. But, you know, I can't get my head all crumbed up with all the things that other people are thinking. It's not useful to me. But if you're trying to corral somebody to be what you need them to be for you, you don't love them in a way that respects them. You love them in a way that this is what you want. You want to contain them. They can't talk to this person. They can't go here. They can't have this thought. They can't do this. Time for you to go find another person who fits your numbers, who fits what you need from a person. I think God is all sentientness in one pot. And sentientness, your thoughts and whatever, your emotions, I think they all have a frequency. And if I don't help balance my partner in his frequency and what he needs, then we're not the right partnership. And if this room doesn't balance that room, we shouldn't be in this space. This city needs to balance that city. And I think we get our lives all crumbed up when we choose somebody because of the way they look or whatever, but the personality isn't what we want, so we try to change them. I got an email from some guy who said, I am comfortable in this kind of clothes. Can you take my wife's vocal print and tell me why she tries to put me in these clothes that I just hang in the closet and never pay any attention to? Well, those kind of intimate things, yes, I could, but I can't tell you off the top of my head without hearing your voice or something. So use this nano voice, nanovoice.org, and I have up on the screen for those of you watching a voice print that is pretty even on E and A sharp by the number of hits. And this is only somebody saying a truth, and I took it really quick. 8 hits on A sharp, 9 hits on E. About even. That's what you want to look at when you're looking at someone's intention. Are they telling you the truth? Now, the difference is it a different color? Remember that yellow is think, blue is feel, green is do, and red is action, probably without thinking a whole lot about it. As we're looking at this, E is yellow. So they're thinking about the words. They're also thinking about how they're going to carry out the words. And this, I asked the question, what are you going to do this afternoon? I'm going to go to the grocery. I really need to go to the grocery. Oh, and I have to plan some meals before I go. This is somebody in the office here. And you can look. There is the F, planning, and the E, words, and then carry out the words, A sharp. So there is a lot of things that you can do with this vocal print, and we will try to continue. Okay, Snowball is saying, how can you watch this show? Go up to the top of your chat, and it will give you information on how to watch the show. We are going to go off the air. I probably can't come back. I got another show that I have to do. I did not check and see if anybody had their hand up. I hope at this late date they don't. We will do another show and try to do some more signature sounds. Totally appreciate you being with us. I don't know what we're doing next week. Probably something exciting. Thank you, Richard.
A pleasure as always. Always fun.
Any response to what I was just yelling about?
That's a whole separate show. The whole relationship thing where people come in thinking, you know, it's the classic scene in the movie where, you know, I'll blame it on the bride just because that's usually, you know, I can change him. And I think that's the classic foundational mistake that people are making is that you'll get into a relationship and you will, you know, change somebody's behavior after the fact.
Well, if I believe in this math matrix, and with that belief, there is the perfect person to match your energy on the planet, and your job is to find them. And you can do that with your vocal prints. So we're going to probably do compatibilities next week. So bring your spouse or your significant other or whatever, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks, Richard.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody.
Well, this music is supposed to play. What if I turn it up?